This is All of It. I'm Kusha Navidar in for Allison Stewart. When I say the words drag queen, what do you think of? For our guests today, drag is liberation. It's more than just putting on wigs or makeup. Drag has given them a community and their authentic selves in a world that maybe shunned them away. Johnny Ingram and Stephen Warren are the co-creators of the HBO show We're Here. Their show centers a group of well-known drag artists as they enter small towns across America to spread the gift of drag to queer people and allies who live there. The show is now in its fourth season, and this time four drag artists visit smaller conservative towns in Tennessee and Oklahoma, where drag is largely met with hostility. In fact, some towns are on the brink of banning them entirely. But as it is with any place in America, queer people live in these places. Finding a community is hard, so these group of drag artists induct them into their newfound drag family. Some try putting on a wig for the first time, others learn how to walk and strut in heels. But underneath all that glitz and glamour is what makes this show special. We learn about their journey and how they navigate that journey in the face of hatred. The show's fourth season premieres tomorrow on Max, and with us today to talk about the latest season of We're Here, our executive producers, Johnny Ingram and Stephen Warren. Hi, both.
Hi, thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you here. And also, we have Sasha Velour, a phenomenal drag artist and a co-star of the show. Hi, Sasha. Welcome to All of It.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you all here. Let's set the stage. Johnny and Stephen, this is the fourth season. You've been all over America for this show, the West, Midwest, the Deep South, Hawaii even. I understand you wanted to change the format for this season. Johnny, is that right?
That's right. You know, this was a very unexpected turn in our political climate. And I think what's really been so special about the show is the people that we meet. And I think in the past, we were only spending, you know, about a couple of weeks in these places. And this season, we really steeped ourselves in these communities in order to tell more stories and actually to connect deeper to the community and the people there. And so we expanded 1 hour into three, and we go to two places instead of six. And it's important, you know, to share, you know, some of the hostility that is happening across the country, but also a lot of love. And we can't wait for everyone to watch and to see.
Yeah, that love definitely comes through. Stephen, when was the moment that you thought, oh, the format of this needs to change for season four?
We're living in a world that's really radically changed since 5 years ago when we first created the show. And that when we were putting together this season, we realized there is so much hate that is being promulgated throughout the country by religious extremists, by political extremists, and that we realized this is an urgent season. If we don't get the message out that at the base, all of us are the same, everyone is the same, it's human connection is the thing that matters, and that's what our show is all about. So we realized, what are we going to do, you know, in the face of this incredible resistance that's going on? We're going to delve deeper, we're going to tell richer stories, and we brought a new family of drag queens into the equation. And here we have Sasha, which is, you know, Sasha is just one of the greatest artists of all time.
And I want to bring Sasha into this. Sasha, when you got the call to join the cast this season, what was your immediate reaction?
I was so excited. The first call I got was from Bob the Drag Queen, who's one of the previous hosts, who did such amazing work bringing people into this world of drag. So I nearly lost my mind. I've been dreaming of being part of a show like this because I started doing drag in a small town, my hometown of Champaign-Urbana, Illinois. And we really do have queer life and resilience and existence in every single place. Drag isn't something you just see on TV. It's here in the world. And this show highlights that and brings it even more to the forefront.
And you mentioned, you know, towns across America. Let's talk about the town that you all spend some time in. Murfreesboro, Tennessee. It's a small town of about 160,000 people. The town essentially banned a pride event from happening that year. And we meet some queer folks and allies that are reeling from the loss. Johnny, what made this town the right place to film three episodes this season?
Well, I'm from Tennessee, and so it's hit really close to home. In particular, having left Tennessee to live my authentic self, I always like to think we've met a lot of amazing queer folks and people in larger cities that I ended up living in: Chicago, Toronto, New York, and now LA. And what I feel was missing, from these smaller towns are the people that have left, the queer people that have left, and to be able to bring back some of the amazing, not only drag artists that we've met, but queer folks and part of our cast and crew back to these spaces was incredibly important. In particular, Murfreesboro is a hotbed for some extraordinarily vague laws and ordinances in the city that it makes it really difficult to exist as any member of the LGBTQ community, but they really are trying to push LGBTQ people back into their homes and back into the closet. This particular indecency clause that was really targeted at, I think, trans and drag folks, and canceling Pride based on a character we meet there, which is actually Sasha's extraordinary drag kid in this town, really exposes the absurdity of these ordinances. And I think it's really important that Sasha, in particular, bringing her intellect and just amazing, graceful personality to expose these ordinances that are just so vague and meant to oppress. And I think it's important that we expose it so people understand that these are, this isn't. This th these things are so this shouldn't exist, and I think that was really why we went to Murfreesboro.
No one wants to call themselves a fascist. No one wants to say we're passing fascistic laws. The fact is, Murfreesboro was it did pass a fascistic ordinance, because that is how, when you something is passed that's so vague, that's intended to scare people from going out in public, because you don't know, is it okay to wear nails in public? Is it okay to wear a wig in public? If you don't know if you're going to be arrested, that is terrifying. And that's what Murfreesboro did. And that is how fascism is bred.
Sasha, I'm wondering how it felt for you landing in a town that you said has some similarities to the one that you grew up in, right? How was it for you getting there?
It brought me back to moments in my life where I was always on guard. I think that that is normal life for a lot of queer people, that you find safe spaces, close friends, or maybe that drag bar, that one tiny gay hangout in town where you can be your full self, and the rest of the time you're always looking around you because homophobic hate and violence is all around. The threat of losing your job for being out is always lingering. And I think a lot of queer people learn how to code shift and hide parts of themselves, stick with others just to survive. And those are good skills, but I wish queer people wouldn't have to learn that strength through fear. And we kind of saw it as our mission to spread the kind of safety that Stephen and Johnny and the whole team made for us while we were filming. Because even though we were in these places, we had this support system, and then we wanted to extend that to our drag children, to these people who live in these towns year round, but maybe don't have that support all the time.
I think now is a great time to move into that experience specifically. And hey, listeners, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the new season of We're Here. It's a reality TV show that embraces love through the art of drag. We're here with the executive producers, Stephen Warren and Johnny Ingram, and a drag artist, host of the show, Sasha Velour. The fourth season premieres tomorrow on Max. If we could, I'd love to talk about Norm, because we've been referring a little bit during the conversation. I think now is a wonderful time to talk about this character, this person in the show. He's an openly gay man who actually ran for county mayor. He's also a drag queen, and he feels like he lost something because of what happened at a drag show. We'd like to play a clip of him reeling from the event. But Sasha, before we play that clip, can you help us set up what happened to Norm at this drag event that we're talking about?
Yeah, this was Murfreesboro. I can't say this is a town name. Their Pride event from 2 years ago. And Veronica Page, also known as Norman Hanks, is the queen of the town. And so she was performing at this Pride event, and her false breast slipped down her dress, which is a common, not ideal drag experience, but a common and a silly one. And she made just an offhand comment about it. Oh, I'm losing my tits. And a video of this went viral on conservative social media and led the town to cancel the Pride event. And the Pride organizers, in response to this, began to discuss banning all drag from any future Pride events. And my beautiful drag daughter, this hero in this town, Veronica, began to feel guilty for ruining Pride for the community, which she should feel responsible for uplifting so many people. But instead, because of all this hate, she was feeling just the opposite.
Well, let's listen to that clip of Norman discussing the event.
It was horrifying. At that point, I was still running for an elected position in
That's
the
right,
county,
running
county
for
mayor.
county mayor.
Right. And I'd already had someone shoot a bullet through my house for being a gay drag queen running for office. This is where it came in. It came in over here behind my lamp.
Whoa.
Right here. And it hit here. And it went through the lamp
Oh my
across to
God.
that wall,
Whoa.
where it ricocheted again over here and then rolled into the hallway. We did call the police and have them come out.
Did they find out who did it?
Oh, God, no. No. They told me that it was a misfire. It was a random bullet and that it wasn't intentional. And if it had been intentional, there would have been a spray of bullets across the front of my house. After that happened, I would drive different routes every day.
Yeah. Did you have any idea something like that was a risk?
I didn't think that that was something that would happen. But that's the naivete of myself, I guess, is I believe the best in everyone.
Has
Like,
it wavered that at all?
yes, I
Oh.
don't trust as easily as I once did.
Sasha, as Norm's drag mentor, how did you want to build his confidence?
I wanted to reflect what strength I saw in Norm. I think that was our job as drag mothers. It's not to teach someone how to do drag. It's to use this amazing spotlight, this platform of a drag show where you have a crowd cheering you on, and use that to help illuminate what is already inside of these queer people, these allies. They are all already doing everything that drag is about in the community. Being visible, spreading love, preaching a message of freedom for all people. And so all I really had to do was hold a mirror up to Norm and say, "You look like a hero to me. You embody everything that drag is." And it had been so long since she had felt that kind of confidence. And slowly during, we were there for a month, slowly during that time, I got to see this life and this joy and this brassy comedy come back to Norm. And all of his friends and family were saying, you know, because of this experience, we have our Norm back, which, you know, it's just even the smallest things, just giving someone an opportunity, telling them they don't need to be ashamed anymore, can do all that.
And you know, Norm's story also makes me think about safety, which we've mentioned earlier in the conversation. This season, we see you confront a lot of hate. There are protesters, homophobic and transphobic hecklers. Johnny, I'm interested as producers, and Steven, I'd love your take on this as well. How did you want to ensure safety for the cast and everyone involved?
Well, in this season, you know, and even expanding the format, we always have had safety, and we have the safety of our, you know, our crew, but we also have security, and HBO has been very, you know, generous in making sure that we are very well protected, and we do work with local security organizations, and to make sure everyone feels safe and is safe, because this is very important to us. Not to mention, we also have, you know, a really great staff that's always looking and on the lookout, you know, for any, you know, unusual activity. But what we really are, you know, we get to come in with the safety of cameras and crew and you know, we're not there, we don't live there full time. But what, you know, I think it's really important that we are able to bring, you know, that, you know, that safety and to film these stories in a place where, you know, that's not normal, that you, they don't really have those protections on a daily basis. And I think that having that, you know, the safety of the cameras is really a thing. And, you know, to expose, you know, how unsafe it really truly is and tell these stories is a superpower we have and that we can bring there. But, you know, when we leave, you know, it's important too that we leave, you know, the community with resources. And I think we often start with the casting with local LGBTQ organizations because we want to make sure that there are local resources there for the folks that we do leave behind. And we also offer therapy for any people that have had, you know, or sharing their trauma on screen and, you know, and going through this process. It's important that, you know, there's aftercare for our contributors as well.
We've realized that the great majority of the hate is online, mm-hmm. and that, you know, these people who are online, they may be actually very few in number, but that is where the most venomous and the most scary threats come from. And that physically being present in these places, we have security, and that there were very few times when we actually felt insecure. But it's, if you read online, you would think it's a different story.
Yeah. And you know, despite these threats to safety, you and your co-stars successfully throw a drag show with your drag daughters, including Norm. I want to play a clip of Sasha, your co-star Jada Essence Hall, and Norm putting up flyers for the drag event you decide to organize in town. Let's take a listen.
We need to hang these up around town because we decided to make it open to anyone who wants to come.
We're going to make an open call with an open stage and reach out to whoever is willing to come.
Getting people to leave their houses and come out and try to bring them together is not a thing.
Lord have mercy. There's still that underlying fear that's always there, right? Because it's just not safe all the time. So you just don't, you don't take the chance.
We could put it in people's windshield.
All the people who maybe have wanted to try drag, the drag queens, the drag kings, have a safe place to come to.
Do you think we could take things to the polls?
It'll just be a little, what's the word?
Torn down?
Yeah.
We want to push the boundaries a little and test how many people are willing to show up.
There we go.
They're gonna love it.
Got it.
I'm interested in what you said at the end of that clip, Sasha. You want to test out if people will show up. Did you ever feel anxious that you were going to get no one to come or even get some angry folks to join?
Every single time. we expected no one to be there, actually. Because that's how Norm saw the community, as fundamentally not willing to show up for each other. So when we had people, this slight spoiler, but people spilling out, lining up around the block, coming out to see not even us as these out-of-town drag queens, but they wanted to do drag themselves. They wanted to support their friends trying drag for the first time. That's the power of this show, like a tangible thing you can do that brings people together in a spirit of love and freedom. And I think I've seen Norm, we're just texting right now, but he's continuing to go more out on a limb and push back and continue to test these boundaries. Life is too short to wonder what could be possible. You have to try it.
You know, I think that goes two ways too, because it's applicable to everyone. And the basic premise of the show is that you, as a drag artist, provide support for those who might need to find a voice, find confidence, live more authentically. But I also imagine that working with these drag darters helped you in your work as a drag artist, maybe?
Absolutely. Because drag is about protest in some level. Just having visibility, existing in such a bold, undeniably queer way, is a protest in this world that wants us to be hidden and wants us to be silent so often. Even though we have so much support out there, a lot of us still experience fear and self-doubt. And to see what a difference a simple drag show can make reminds all of us why we have to never stop, why we can't give up.
you know, as we were talking, this is a live show, so we get texts, and we have been getting texts about this, and there's one that I want to read, which I think is really cool. It says, "We're Here is a masterpiece, and I can't wait for it to come back. I am the mayor of Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey, and would love to have the opportunity to host the show in our welcoming town." Johnny, I'm wondering, when you hear that, what's the reaction that you think?
Yeah, I'm tearing up. I mean, it really means, I mean, to be able to create the show in this time and to celebrate these stories and these unsung heroes in a time when, you know, oppression is just everywhere. You see these headlines. It's so hard to put human beings behind the people that are directly affected by this and to present them in such a loving, thoughtful, careful way and put them in the hands of Sasha Velour to, you know, to bring out, you know, and let them celebrate that inner drag queen or, you know, fantasy in a time when people don't want us to celebrate is so, I mean, unbelievable. I mean, history is repeating itself, but I'm hopeful that telling these stories and it's impacting real people across the country, it means so much. It really, truly is, I mean, bringing me to tears.
Yeah, I just got to give a shout out to the mayor of Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey, for sending that out. And Stephen, you know, you think about season four having, you know, completed. What is an element of it that you want to expand on? How are you thinking about what's next for the series?
There are so many different things that we want to explore. There are so many people like that mayor who would love to have us come. We would love to take this internationally. You know, we would love to go, you know, to Poland. We would love to go across the world to different places to, you know, show what it's like to be queer in foreign countries and small towns in foreign countries. We would love to go, honestly, to one place and park ourselves there for 2 or 3 months and just become so integrated into a community. And we have to choose the right place, but that we can literally become invested in that community and vice versa.
Yeah, the more time we saw, especially this season in this new format, and we truly were being in one place for much longer, we noticed actual change and we were able to document that. I think, you know, when we were there for a much shorter period of time, it was so fleeting and fun. We had a great time. We were also in a very different political climate, but we have noticed the impact. And I actually feel like Norm and our drag contributors that we meet truly do. We're connected. We have Jess from Oklahoma who actually just came to our screening last night, who is a trans woman just sort of entering her new identity. And Sasha is also her drag mother. And it was just so wonderful seeing her thrive and shine. And also to share this moment with her in celebrating the season beginning tomorrow.
And Stephen, can you quickly just say, you know, we're wrapping up, have about 20 seconds left here. Just how has Murfreesboro changed now and how is Norm doing now?
Norm is thriving. Norm is doing so well. We saw him at the SCAD Festival in Atlanta. He looks great. He's performing. He has a new sense of energy. And that Murfreesboro, thankfully, lost, you know, had to settle with the ACLU, had to pay $500,000, and is hopefully not going to, you know, hate on gay people and queer people and drag, you know, in the future. Mm.
Well, if you want to see these stories, be sure to check out the new season of We're Here. It's a reality TV show about embracing love through the art of drag. We've been lucky to be joined by executive producers Stephen Warren and Johnny Ingram and drag artist Sasha Velour. The fourth season premieres tomorrow on Max. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.